Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 18 of the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, and I'm here with my co-host, Mike Valverde. Mike, how are you doing on this fine Sacramento evening?
I'm doing really good. In fact, I think I'm doing better than the Jaguars' defenses right now. So that's doing really well.
What happened to them?
I don't know. I have no clue what transpired, but aliens is my best guess. After that, I no idea. They have just disappeared.
Here's my theory. My theory is that the heart and soul of that defense is Jalen Ramsey. Like, everybody knows that. That's no surprise. But every week he picks a wide receiver that he's going to trash talk on the other team and talk bad about. You know, a couple weeks ago he's talking about how Tyreek Hill was a kick returner, you know, who plays wide receiver. This week he looked around at the Dallas receiving corps and was like, oh my God, who am I going to talk trash about? Yeah. Cole Beasley? And it just threw them all off into a funk because they had nobody to like rally around that they were going to stop. So they stopped nobody.
Yeah, and that's the second week in a row that they haven't stopped anybody either. So, I mean, I get it. Kansas City, the first 2 weeks ago, okay, the Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah, they're, I mean, the Chiefs are a whole nother monster. I mean, they're on a whole nother level right now.
But, yeah, but the Cowboys, there's something definitely wrong with that.
I had the Cowboys being sort of sneaky better than people thought they would be because Dak did pretty well with Zeke around in his career, and I thought Michael Gallup was going to be good. And I don't know. Like, we'll get to that offense this week, but I have a very serious question about that game that we'll get to. The Dallas takes on Washington this week. I don't know about that offense, even though they had that explosion last week. I have some questions, which we'll get to. That's a teaser. So before we get into it, I just want to remind everybody, please check us out on Apple Music. We are there. Just search Football Absurdity. And please rate, review, check us out, tell your friends. We would love to grow this podcast. We're sort of in the growing phase for the website before we start to really start to pump to advertisers and all that stuff. So we'd love your support if you like what we're doing here. And you can follow the website on Twitter. It's FBall Absurdity. We're on Facebook at Football Absurdity. Mike, you're on Twitter as RFL Red Zone. I'm on Twitter as JM Crisco. That's K-R-I-S-K-O. So yeah, that's getting the housekeeping out of the way because I always seem to forget about it. I always jam it in at the end. Let's do it up top, right, Mike?
Yeah, way to kickstart it.
Yeah, that's right. So if this is your first episode with us, this is a football or fantasy football podcast, but we do things a little bit differently. Sometimes we come out on Wednesday. Sometimes we come out on Friday. Our Wednesday ones, we take a look forward at everything that week. The Friday ones, we do a review of Thursday night football. We do a sleeper at each position. Each of us picks one before getting going. And the thing that we do differently from a lot of fantasy football podcasts is we don't say, hey, you know, I think you should start Mitch Trubisky this week, or I think that you should sit, Jarvis Landry or something like that. What Mike and I do is we take the games, we split them up, and we say what we're looking for that can give you information as to what is worth paying attention to. Because when you first start, it's a deluge of information, especially because everything happens all at once. You know, right, Mike? It feels like every weekend you're just like, you finish writing the book on the season on Saturday night, and then on Sunday morning, the NFL takes that book and just puts it in the shredder. Everything starts over every weekend, it feels like.
Exactly. I mean, every week, I mean, you think, okay, well, this team has zero chance. They've only put up an average of 12 points per week, and they're playing the best defense in football, and all of a sudden that 12-point team a week is just scored 50 on the best defense of football, and you're just like, what?
Yeah, how many people lost their shirts this weekend because when the Dolphins announced Brock Osweiler as the starter, they dumped, you know, their kids' college fund into the Bears.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then Brock Osweiler took him behind the tool shed. So that's sort of what we do. We give you an idea of what we're looking at in each game so that when you do your reviews on Saturday, you're watching Red Zone, or on you know, Monday morning, you are watching NFL Network or ESPN, you hear them talking about names, you say, you know, that guy's probably not worth paying attention to. Or, oh, I remember, you know, Mike thought that he would be somebody that, you know, this might be a turning point for them. So that's what we do. Just a quick intro for us if this is your first episode. So like I said, we start with sleepers. Mike, I always defer to you. I feel like since I have all the recording equipment and I feel like this is my home court, I feel like I have to, you know, defer to my guest, even though you're not the guest. So I always start with you. Last week, you had Sam Darnold. Was pretty good. Not a pretty good call. He was quarterback 15 on the week. So not bad for a guy that you pulled out of the air. So who do you have for us this week?
So this week I have a more well-known veteran type of quarterback owned in 42% of leagues, and that is Eli Manning.
Oh.
And
it, there's no talent threshold, huh?
Very, very limited talent and very, very much ready to get his AARP card. And,
yes, sir.
So, but you know, even though it was difficult to write his name down, he is playing against the dreadful, the woeful Atlanta Falcons. And they just give up the ball like Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump. So,
whoa, buddy. we'll have no mushroom talk on this spot. This is a family podcast. yes, that's correct. Jameis Winston last week, for example.
Yes, exactly. With four touchdowns, three touchdowns, something that
four touchdowns. Yeah. So.
There you go. And overall, in the last, I guess, what is it? They've given up in five games. They've given up 1,700 yards and 16 touchdowns. So,
ooh, buddy,
if Eli Manning cannot get the ball in the end zone at least twice against these Falcons, I have no answers. I'm completely dumbfounded. So. I'm betting that Eli Manning gets at least two touchdowns and close to 300 yards.
All right. Sounds good. Eli Manning, let's hope he's not the Thursday Night Football Eli Manning that vomited everywhere and made Odell Beckham go into the locker room early. So my guy, you may have heard of him. He is tied for seventh in the league for most touchdowns over the last 3 weeks. He's averaged just under 300 passing yards per game over the last 3 weeks. He chipped in a rushing touchdown. You may have heard of him. He is your sleeper from last week, Sam Darnold. Yeah, so Sam Darnold, he's, if you don't know who he is, he's a rookie with the Jets. So if you're somebody who kind of doesn't always pay attention to the league, that's why he's a rookie. He's going into his seventh start. He's playing Minnesota. So that's sort of a weird recommendation to make, right?
Yeah.
But the thing with, here's my thing with him. He scored against Denver. He had three touchdowns. That's the only defense that's made Patrick Mahomes look mortal this year was that Denver game. Indy last week, it was a shootout. But he ended up with 19 fantasy points in 4 point per passing touchdown leagues, over 20 and 6 point. And Minnesota, they're supposed to be a really good quarterback defense. But here's the thing. We all saw Jared Goff on Thursday Night Football light him up. But also Carson Wentz lit them up. Okay, Carson Wentz went for 21 points 2 weeks ago. Do you know who they played 4 games ago?
Oh, God, no.
His quarterback had 27.74 fantasy points against them. This quarterback is also a rookie. This quarterback is named Josh Allen. This quarterback is bad.
Yeah, I was going to say Josh Allen, actually.
Yeah. So that makes 3 out of the last 4 games that in 4 point passing touchdown leagues, the Vikings have given up at least 21 points. So, Sam Darnold is kind of hitting a groove. He'll be without Quincy Enunwa, who's kind of his safety blanket, but I think Jermaine Kearse can play the same role. And I think that he's a lock for, let's say, 275 and two touchdowns, which is lower end production. That's kind of what my boy CJ Beathard on Monday Night Football, which by the way, almost took down the Packers with all backups, you know, where my beat hard head's at. But sort of the same game where it's a back end quarterback one, depending on what other people do. He's not going to blow it up, but he'll get you some steady production. So that's my sleeper for this week. Who is your wide receiver sleeper this week?
My wide receiver sleeper is a guy that's only owned in 27% of the leagues, which is very surprising to me considering he's really been the only wide receiver to be producing on the team, and that is Christian Kirk.
Ah, Christian Kirk. He almost made my list. So regale us with the story of Christian Kirk.
So another rookie, it's like Sam Darnold. I really am surprised because I really thought that Larry Fitzgerald would be doing what Christian Kirk is doing at a higher degree, but I guess they're saying he's injured. I really don't know what the issue is with Larry Fitzgerald, except for the fact that I just know he's not getting it done on that football field.
He's got old itis.
Yeah, he's definitely done. So Christian Kirk is picking up that slack. In the last three out of the four games, he has not only surpassed Larry Fitzgerald, but he's been a double-digit point receiver in fantasy. So whenever you're getting into those double digits at position level, then you're really submitting good value for your team. So with that being said, I'm really thinking that the Cardinals are going to be throwing the ball quite a bit, and the receiver seems to be Christian Kirk. So put one and one together, and there you go.
I like it. I like it a lot. I like rookie wide receiver so much that's my sleeper this week as a rookie wide receiver. Yes, he is actually not quite facing up against him, but he is on the opposite side of field. That's Courtland Sutton for the Denver Broncos. The way I see it is that he is going to definitely not get Patrick Peterson. That's either going to be Demaryius Thomas or Manny Sanders. And I've raised the point a couple times that he's definitely going to be the best wide receiver on the team in 2019, but he may already be the best wide receiver in 2018. He's well behind the two guys in air yards. His target volume is pretty close to Demaryius Thomas on the season. Sutton is averaging 5 targets per game to Demaryius's 6 per game. Sorry, my computer froze on me there, folks. but Sutton's doing well. He's not coming down with balls. He has a lot of like under the hood is what I like to call it stats that are hinting at a breakout. You know, he's averaging 5 targets per game. He's getting a good amount of air yards, which is sort of converting the ball travel distance when a quarterback throws the ball into an actual stat. I love that stat because it's an idea of potential production. He is getting a good amount of the air yards. He's barely behind Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. And I think things are going to start to turn around. He's had an extraordinarily low catch rate, and he's too good for that catch rate. So I think things will start to come back to him this week against a defense in Arizona who really only has one good, I'll say it, one good defensive back. Forget cornerback. They have one good defensive back, and that's Patrick Peterson. And he follows. So he's either going to be on Thomas or Manny Sanders all game. Now, it's a bad matchup on paper because they allow the third fewest points to the position. But one guy every week seems to blow up. And I think that this week it should be Courtland Sutton because he will not draw Patrick Peterson duty. Like last week it was Adam Thielen because Stephon Diggs got Patrick Peterson. The week 4 it was Trent Taylor because Peterson was on either Pierre Garçon or Marquise Goodwin. So it's a secondary receiver that benefits.
Yeah, and I think when you have those sort of those tough defensive matchups at the corner positions and stuff, you're always looking at your second or third read, and that just happens to be Courtland Sutton.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So who is your running back this week?
My running back, so we've gone from three rookies in a row to old people, one being Eli Manning, the second old guy we got who's ready for his ARP card as well, Frank Gore. And
Frank. Yeah. Okay.
Love Frank Gore. 33% owned, but the dude just made the Bears, you know, pretty much just ran all over him. He got 110 yards on 15 carries. So
steady. That's, you know, like I say, Father Time is undefeated, but Frank Gore is doing his best, right?
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, against that Bears, he could definitely say not only is it best, but knocking Father Time out. So against the Bears, yeah, that's a tough matchup. And he just ran all over them. Has double-digit points in two of his last three games. And now he'll face the Detroit Lions. So that, you know, that how bad that defense is. I think Miami is going to run the ball a lot, not only because that's their offensive system, but they're not going to want Detroit Lions with the ball on offense because the Lions offense is so explosive. So they're going to try to run the clock as much as possible. And by running the clock, you run the ball. And the guy that runs the ball is Frank Gore.
Yeah, with a little ground and pound. So quick story about Frank Gore. So my father-in-law has been a 49er season ticket holder since like 2001 or 2002. And when I started going, when I moved to the Bay Area, it was towards the tail end it was Mike Singletary's last year and then the Harbaugh years, tail end of Frank Gore in San Francisco. And while I went to Candlestick for a lot of Giants games, I didn't go for a lot of 49ers games. So when I think of Candlestick and the 49ers, I think of my father-in-law just sitting there going, give the ball to Frankie, run the ball with Frankie. He would do that every time they had the ball. So that's my Frank Gore thing. And he's, you know, he did that for a decade before Frank Gore left the team. So it's just funny. This guy has just been around for forever. So that's my Frank Gore story. So you mentioned your guys all need AARP cards. My guy, let me see. I think he's on the doorstep of needing an AARP card. And if he doesn't need one already, he kind of runs like he needs one pretty soon. This guy is actually not a player I like too much, but he's bafflingly still getting the opportunity. Goodness gracious, LeGarrette Blount is 31 years old. He is older than I thought. LeGarrette Blount, he is 10% owned on Yahoo. He is still the starter, despite the fact that Kerryon Johnson should be the starter. And he's still the bowling ball, still the short yardage back. He got two touchdowns the last time the Lions played. I think he's going to get an inordinate amount of production. And the Miami passing defense is very good. Their run defense is very bad, which means when it gets in within the 10 or the 5, it's going to be running back time. So I think that he has a good bet for a touchdown or two this weekend. Maybe, you know, 15 carries for 16 yards and three touchdowns. So sort of a classic LeGarrette Blount on the Patriots sort of game. His ownership is shocking to me. When I was looking it up, I had to double, triple check. No, he's down that low. I'm guessing enough people saw the writing on the wall with Kerryon, and he was on a bye last week. So he a lot of people jettisoned him from their team. So that's my guy. And I forgot to say, just like last week, my twist this week, everybody's less than 10% owned or 10% or less. Darnold 9%, Sutton 5%. That's not right. That's 5% started. He's 5% started. So these are all guys that are less than 10% started. I clicked the wrong category. Still sleepers.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, without a doubt.
So last week I had a pretty good quarterback. I knocked it out of the park as far as I'm concerned with Ito Smith and Chester Rogers. And my tight end, 5 targets, 0 catches, 0 yards. So Mike, no matter who you say here, you can at least match me. So who's your tight end sleeper this week?
My tight end sleeper is CJ Uzoma.
CJ, nothing rhymes with Azoma, Uzoma.
Zuma, yes. Zoom, Zoom, I don't know, something. Zoom. The big reason why I have him is because the Cincinnati Bengals love to go to their tight end, as we've seen with Eifert.
And Croft
last year. So, stumble upon, Croft is going to be out for a few weeks. Eifert is done for the season. So that leaves us really one tight end, and that's the Zoom man, Uzoma. So he was really the basic reason why I picked him as my sleeper pick at 29% owned. And I just think that the Bengals in this game are going to have to be passing. It's going to be a high scoring game, and when you're passing in a high scoring game, that means points and tight end involved, just all that together. Now, whether all those special ingredients is going to make something great, I don't know. It can make something horrible, but I'm going to go with the great, and hopefully let's see what happens.
All right. I like that. I like that a lot. So to recap your sleepers this week, you got Eli Manning. You got Captain Kirk Cousins. If you could slot Kirk Cousins in at a wide receiver spot, I would do it. Cause he's going to get a lot of points. You've got, Frankie Gore and CJ Uzoma. So my tight end sleeper this week, it is the glorious play of glory plays. This guy was owned when I checked last night in not even enough leagues to register a percent, 0% of leagues. He plays the team that gives up the 8th most fantasy points to tight ends. They gave up 12.9 in half PPR to the tight end they played last week. The tight end that the 49ers play this week is one Mr. Gerald Everett. Now, Gerald Everett, it's not so much has to do with Gerald Everett. What it has to do is with the situation going around Gerald Everett. I mean, this guy, he had no targets in week one, and his season high was last week against Denver. He had 4. So he's not getting a ton of opportunity, but Cooper Kupp was around last week. Cooper Kupp runs the short routes. Cooper Kupp runs out of the slot. I trust that what they'll do instead is they'll let their super athletic sophomore running back, tight end, Gerald Everett, do that. And the 49ers suck out loud against tight ends. They let old man Antonio Gates just stand by himself in the end zone. That's how bad they are. Travis Kelce burnt them. Jimmy Graham burnt them. Demetrius Harris burnt them. They're not good. They're not good, folks. They're linebackers. Are pretty good in the run game, not great at stopping tight ends. I love Reuben Foster when he can stay healthy. I love Fred Warner. Just they can't cover tight ends very well. So it's a glory play of all glory plays. But if it hits, just think of the trash talk that you could have. Mike, what if somebody beat you with a player who didn't even register an ownership percentage? Like, how much would that hurt your soul if somebody did that? You're just like, God, you know, I'm playing against a fantasy genius.
That stuff happens to God. It happens to me a lot, too many times where, stuff like that happens. And you're just like, what? This guy hasn't caught a touchdown in 50 games and he catches 3 against me. What the hell?
So last year, I'm going to peel it back again. Last year, I played in IDP league with the guys from high school. Nick Ballore. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
He was the 49ers, I think, 4th string linebacker. So good at playing linebacker, he went to the Lions and converted to fullback.
awesome.
A guy picked him up and played him against me. He had 10 freaking tackles.
Oh my goodness.
10 tackles.
Wow.
And I lost by like 2-3 points. So you're just like, come on, man. This guy doesn't even play linebacker anymore. That's how bad he was at it. He's a freaking fullback now. So that's a glory play. Like, if you're starting Gerald Everett, that's a glory play. So, all right. So those are our sleepers for this week. At quarterback, we got Darnold and Eli. We have Courtland Sutton and Christian Kirk. We have Frank Gore and LeGarrette Blount. And we have CJ Uzoma and Gerald Everett. So now we turn our attention to the matchups for this week. Mike takes the AFC home games. I take the NFC home games. And this week they're actually even. It worked out perfectly. I think they're 7-7. So this week, the byes get a little bit harder. You got Green Bay, Oakland, Pittsburgh, and Seattle all on byes. If you think this is hard, don't look at next week. Next week's going to be RUFF rough. So that's a little dog joke for everybody. So the first matchup, actually, so who I wanted to talk about, I'm going to take a pass on this one. I'm going to take my own bye because the guys I wanted to talk about that I'm looking for are Christian Kirk and Courtland Sutton. We've talked them both to death. Instead, what I'll talk about just real quick, David Johnson. Don't give up on David Johnson. With Josh Rosen under center, he's averaging over 20 touches a game. He is one of, if not the most well-rounded running back in the game. He runs routes like a wide receiver. He runs the ball as good as anybody else in the league. Hang on to David Johnson. If you're hearing this before Sunday, try to buy him. I think, or before Thursday, he plays on Thursday Night Football. Try to buy him. I think he's going to have his coming out party. But other than that, there's not too much to look for in this game. Philip Lindsay's going to eat. Royce Freeman's going to eat. The wide receivers we already talked about. Quarterbacks are not fantasy relevant no matter what they do in this game. Just not even fantasy relevant. Maybe in two quarterback leagues, but that's where we're sitting on this one. Mike, you inclined to agree?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much accurate. Even the wide receivers for the Broncos are probably going to have a hard time. So it's outside of, you know, Courtland Sutton, but he's more of a special play as we talked about. So yeah, I think it's you pretty much nailed it.
All right then. So the first AFC home game is technically an away game for both the teams. Tennessee and the Chargers travel to jolly old London. Tennessee 3-3, Chargers 4-2. On this one, it is a 45-point over under with the Chargers favored by 6.5 points. So, Mike, what are you looking for in this game?
Yeah, so this is going to be an interesting game. It's not gonna be a whole lot of points scored, and I'm not gonna get up at whatever 6:30 in the morning or something to watch.
I am, baby. Woo-wee. Actually, I'll already be up because I'm going to the Niners game, but I'll be up. I'll be watching it.
Oh my goodness, I don't know how you do that. Not me. But I'll DVR or something. I don't know. With the Chargers, they're pretty interesting. Actually, they might be, it's a tough call, but they might be the best team in the AFC West. And I know a lot of people are saying, "Oh, the Chiefs," but the Chiefs are more just really driven by the offense, where the Chargers are more well-rounded. I mean, obviously they don't have the offense that Chiefs do, but the Chargers have a better defense. They've lost only twice. One of those games was to the Chiefs. So, you know, but they also lost to the Rams. So those are only two games. You're looking at one team that lost one game, and then you're also looking at another team that hasn't lost any games whatsoever, and that's their only two losses. So they are doing pretty well.
And they've done all this without their best player on defense. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. And so it's very interesting what they're going to do. Phillip Rivers, you know, he's going to he's a below average quarterback in fantasy land. So I wouldn't put too much faith into him. It's all about Gordon anyways. And the Titans, give or the 26 team against the Rush. So basically only six teams are better than the Titans when, or I should say worse than the Titans against the run. And Gordon is just going to just eat, like you said, eat.
Feed him till he throws up.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he should look like Veruca Salt or something that by the time he leaves the game. As far as the Titans, I want to see someone step up. Anybody. I don't care who it is. Corey Davis, Derrick Henry, Taywan Taylor. I don't care. Someone on this team step up, please, because that offense is just garbage. And I'm just tired of seeing all these players do absolutely nothing. And here's the type of game where they can actually spread their wings a little bit against the softer Chargers defense. But we'll see. You know, who knows what's going to happen. But the Tennessee Titans offense is just ugly.
Yeah, and I think one of the problems is that it starts with the offensive line. So it might not be a thing where anybody can step up. Dropped Derrick Henry last week, felt good about it. Kept Deion Lewis, did not feel good about it. still have Corey Davis, don't feel good about that either. It's rough. It's a rough go out there in Tennessee, which sucks because it was one of the offenses that everybody was excited about.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So. I really thought that Mariota was going to sort of get things going, but obviously not.
Nope. And like I said, it probably he got sacked 11 times last week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do when you get sacked 11 times in one game.
No, especially someone mobile. So if they had, like, I don't know, who, Josh Rosen back there, oh, that would have been really ugly.
Man, like Peyton Manning behind that line. Woo! Yeah. Oh, God. He would die. All right. So next game up on the slate is the Patriots at the Bears. The Patriots are 4-2. The Bears have already had their bye, so they're 3-2. It's a 49.5-point over under, which is, you know, top five of the week. And the Patriots are 3.5-point favorites. So it's gonna be a high scoring game. Basically, Vegas projects this one to be Patriots 26-27. Chicago 23, but the Bears have been involved in two straight pretty good high scoring games for their offense, and everybody has been involved except Jordan Howard. My question this week is, he doesn't catch passes. He's not getting red zone touches. He's not getting red zone looks. He's got 25 carries in the last two games. Is it time to start thinking about selling low, getting what you can get for Jordan Howard, punting Jordan Howard in smaller leagues? Because he's just not worth it. I mean, this guy has gotten 94 yards in the last two games combined. And like I said, no touchdowns. He has one touchdown on the year. He has gotten two targets in the last two games. They're phasing him out for Tariq Cohen. It might be time to find somebody who still believes in the name, and it might be time to punt on Jordan Howard. That's what I'm looking for in this game. Everybody else is kind of the deal. Trubisky is still playing over his head. Trey Burton scoring touchdowns every week despite getting like four targets. The Patriots are the Patriots. Sony Michel, James White in PPR, Josh Gordon, Gronk, Julian Edelman in PPR, even though he popped up on the injury report today with the heel injury, they are what they are. My big question here is it time to punt on the guy that I said would be, what did I say, a top five running back, top seven or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, we might be
toast. You weren't the only one on that one. I was right there with you.
Yeah. Might be the Jordan Howard show might be over. It might be Tariq Cohen time fully. And Waleed for the website, Waleed Ismail, he's a Bears fan. He's thinking that the Bears should probably trade him for whatever they can get in the offseason because he doesn't fit. I don't agree with that because the guy's going to be making less than $750,000 next year. And I don't know what else you're going to do with that money or that roster spot, but it sounds like the Bears and Jordan Howard are starting to fall out of favor, according to the local media. They're starting to get a little bit of a rift.
Yeah, and if I was Jordan Howard, I'd feel pretty upset, because when he does get the ball, he looks like Jordan Howard out there. So,
yeah, and he's just not getting the ball.
Right.
So that's what I'm looking for this weekend. Also, you know, honorable mention, Taylor Gabriel seems to be on the come up, seems to be legit. So that one's pretty thoroughly put to bed. Like I said, the Patriots, there's not much actionable. Patriots are the Patriots. The next game up is a team near and dear to your heart. The Indianapolis Colts are hosting the Buffalo Bills. The Colts are 1-5. Buffalo is 2-4. It's a 43.5-point over-under, with the Colts favored by 7.5. Not a great contest to try to find fantasy value from, especially since the Bills announced today they're starting. Did you see who they're starting this weekend?
Yeah. And yeah, and that was one of my points. It was exactly is how bad is Nathan Peterman that they're going to start a guy that they just pulled off the street. Granted, it's Derek Anderson, who when he did have, I think it was 2 years ago, when he played sparingly for the Panthers when Cam Newton was out, he played well. And has played well here and there in the spots that he's gone to. He's sort of like a Ryan Fitzpatrick. But to not even really know the offense at all and come in and say, yeah, you're our guy over Nathan Peterman. Wow.
Well, my question to that is, how bad was A.J. McCarron? Shipped off A.J. McCarron to keep Nathan Peterman, and now Nathan Peterman can't even start over a guy who was on the street 2 weeks ago. A.J. McCarron, who blocked me on Twitter and the Football Absurdity account.
What?
Oh, you didn't know this?
No.
So over the summer, Waleed, he did the yeoman's work. He did a ton of work on player profiles for every sort of fantasy relevant player. He worked through them, and he started with the quarterbacks. And this is when there was still a question about whether or not it would be Josh Allen or AJ McCarron starting. And he did an AJ McCarron profile. I think he shouted out AJ McCarron's terrible tattoo, which, if you haven't seen it, don't worry, you will see it. It'll be the picture for this week's episode of the podcast. He shouted out AJ McCarron's terrible tattoo. AJ McCarron actually saw the tweet, followed Football Absurdity, and then clearly read the article, blocked Football Absurdity, blocked me because I retweeted it, blocked Waleed. He blocked everybody. So shout out to AJ McCarron. How are you going to read a defense when you don't even read an article before you like it, bud? So
yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So that's the AJ McCarron story. And then ever since then, it made me itchy to tag players in anything that we post, because the AJ McCarron thing's funny, but if it happens to an actual good player, I might be a little upset.
Yeah. I mean, AJ McCarron, who cares? But I mean, it's still, that's just ridiculous. Oh
yeah. Yeah. So that's how bad AJ McCarron is. So this one, I sort of hijacked it. What do you want to talk about in Buffalo and Indianapolis?
So with Buffalo, I think McCoy's going to have a good game, or at least should have a good game, considering Derek Anderson probably knows about a quarter of the playbook, and they're going to do is feed LeSean McCoy all day long. So if you have him, he might be a good start against the Colts, who do allow quite a bit of yards on the ground. Scoring might be a little bit difficult, but I can definitely see McCoy having a serviceable game. With Indianapolis, You're definitely going to want to pump the brakes on Ty Hilton and Andrew Luck this week, because Buffalo's defense is really strong and they don't really give up a lot in the passing game. So, I mean, Luck is like the third or second best passer right now in the NFL and fantasy. But if you have someone that is playing a great matchup, this might be the time to sort of say, okay, well, let's put Luck on hold and look at that other player. So that's basically it. There's really not a whole lot. The running back situation in Indianapolis is very confusing. I would just stay away from it unless you have to play one of them. But I don't think anybody knows who's going to get the carries. Is it going to be Mack? Is it going to be Hines? Is it going to be Turbin? Is it going to be Wilkins? I mean, all these guys play a factor in this running game situation. So to get a lot of points or get a strong amount of points, unless you're in a bad situation, I would just avoid it altogether.
If you had to start one Lions running back this week, who do you think should be the start?
Lions running back or Colts running back?
I'm sorry, Colts running back.
Same
thing. Four legs. Same deal.
Yeah, I would say Marlon Mack just because he's more fresh coming from that suspension. And he did get the majority of shares last week. So I think they're going to probably roll with him again. But to be certain, yeah, I don't know. But if I had to pick one, I would definitely pick Marlon Mack.
But you don't feel good about it, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. I don't feel good about it at all. I think a lot of it is going to be determined on the offensive schematics and what they're facing. So if 3rd-and-3 and if 4-3 defense is on the field, then maybe you'll see Jordan Wilkins. But if they're at a 3-4, you might see Nyheim Hines. You know, I think it's just all matchup based and offensive scheme. So all of them are going to be involved.
Alrighty, fair enough. So from one AFC South home game to another, Houston, Jacksonville, both 3-3. It's a 41.5 point over under. Easy for you to say. It's the lowest game this week projected on by Vegas, and Jacksonville is a 5-point favorite. Chances are we will see the AFC South winner in this game, whether it be Houston or Jacksonville. But before we talk about the what you're looking for in this game, who do you got AFC South, Jacksonville or Houston? Dark horse, the Colts. They go undefeated, end up 11-5.
Yeah, I wish. yeah, that would be awesome. You're right. Yeah, I think Jacksonville, that I can't believe that after a whole season and five games that this team all of a sudden can't play defense. So I think they're going to, whatever they need to do to fix it, they'll fix it and get back to reality. So I really, in Houston is sort of, they you know, they'll beat a good team, but lose to another weak team. They're just sort of vanilla. So yeah, my pick is Jacksonville.
All right, fair enough. I'm going to go contrarian here. I'm going to take Houston. As long as Deshaun Watson can stay healthy, I don't trust Blake Bortles to do anything but Bort all over the place. So what are you looking for in this game?
What I'm looking for is actually to see if the Jacksonville defense shows up. It's been bad, as we talked about. 3-1 in the first four games, and they gave up a total of 56 points. So you're looking at, you know, very like 14 points per game that they gave up. Then in the last two games, they've given up 70 points. So they've gone from giving up 14 points per game to 35.
Wait, hold on. Is that bad?
A little bit.
A little bit. Doesn't sound right to me.
It doesn't sound right at all, does it? It sounds very yin and yang-ish, where it just, what, how, what, you know? And but yeah, how did they go from 14 to 35 in just 2 weeks? I have no idea. And as we also mentioned, the Kansas City Chiefs, okay, they gave up, you know, a 30-point game to them. Okay, we get it. But to give up 40 to Dallas? What in the hell? I mean,
that is baffling, and I apologize to the children for such harsh language.
Yeah. I mean, wow. God, 40 points to an offense that has no receivers, half of a quarterback and a legitimate run game, and they give up 40 points. It just, I don't get it. So I want to see if Jacksonville can actually turn this thing around. A lot of it might have to do with Leonard Fournette not being, you know, healthy enough to play, and therefore they can't run the clock down and just feed Fournette every play, every, you know. And now it's just it's a missing consistency, so they're lagging. I don't know, but it's really bad. And then with Houston, I want to see if Deshaun Watson can bounce back after last week's disastrous game. He's sort of been up and down. It's not been the greatest of years for him. He's sort of playing like a rookie, like something he should have been playing last year, but whatever reason he blew up the league. Now he's sort of just been a rookie and come down to earth. And for the life of me, I don't know why he was the fourth ranked quarterback overall in fantasy before the season starts, but there you go. And then I want to see if Hopkins or Yeldon can do something on this offense. They're the only two players that I have. I mean, Yeldon for Jacksonville and Hopkins, of course, for Houston are the only two starters that I think are viable enough to put on the field.
What about Kiki?
You know, I like Kiki, but I just, in this game against the Jags, I think the Jacksonville defense is going to reappear themselves. They're going to show up in this game. So I don't see much for Kiki Cutie. His targets dropped off quite a bit too. I think he only had like five last week. So it's one of those where I think he's sort of becoming more flat to earth as well as Watson. So yeah, I don't like it. Unless you're in a PPR league and in a desperate situation, I'd avoid them.
All right, fair enough. Sounds good. So the next game up on the slate is Detroit at Miami with Brock Lobster. The Lions are 2-3. Miami is 4-2. This one's got a 47-point over-under, and Minnesota is 3.5-point favorites, which is actually seems kind of surprisingly low. But I imagine a good amount of that has to do with Miami being a home game. So what are you looking for in this one?
So I think one of the reasons why this point is a total of like 47 points this game is because it's going to be a very tough defense with Miami Dolphins against and a running game. And Miami's really controlled the clock very well with their team, and that's how they're winning. 4-2, which surprises me because if you look at their offense, it's just disastrous. They only scored one touchdown on the ground. So the combined of Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake can't for the life of them put the ball into the end zone. I guess they could have had two if Kenyon Drake didn't fumble at the 1 yard line last week against the Bears, but that's that game. Did you see that by any chance?
Oh yeah. I was watching Game Pass and I was kind of following it. And by the way, real quick, I meant to say that Detroit was 3.5-point favorites. The Minnesota game was right next to it, and I grabbed the wrong line because I was looking at that. I was like, that doesn't look right. So Detroit is 3-point favorites, not Minnesota 3.5-point in a game that they're not even playing. But yes, I did see that fumble. It was heartbreaking. Did you see him crying after the game? Like,
oh my god, yeah.
That was a guy who thought that, you know, he blew it for his whole team, and they lifted him up. That's why it's a team game.
Yep, exactly. Not an individual sport, that's for sure. Albert Wilson, I'm liking for Miami. I think he stepped it up in recent weeks, where Kenny Stills was the guy for the first couple weeks. He's sort of now back to doing what Kenny Stills does best, going deep and getting the options when he can. But seems like Tannehill is projecting with Albert Wilson sort of playing the Jarvis Landry role, and Brock Osweiler this week should continue to look his direction. So I do like Albert Wilson if you're in that kind of situation. It's sort of a third wide receiver guy, but you know, who knows? He can definitely, he definitely has value. And then, Kenyon Drake, might be the best option for a running back, against this, strong defense of the Lions. I know the Lions give up a lot of points and stuff, but against the ground, they're pretty strong. So, if you're looking at to play either Frank Gore or Kenyon Drake, I would go with Kenyon Drake this week.
Even though Gore was your sleeper?
Yeah. The reason why I pick Gore as my sleeper is because of the percentage owned. But yeah, I just think in PPR leagues, and Frank Gore is more of a standard kind of guy. He's not going to be catching the passes and those kind of
things. Gotcha.
So
I gotcha.
Yeah. But good question. Yeah, that's a good question. Now with Miami, the wide receiver situation is going to be really complex. I think the Dolphins, Xavier Howard is probably going to be covering multiple receivers because Golden Tate likes to move around in the offense, and I don't think Howard will always be on Tate. So Tate might be the best receiver to put forward on that offense for you for the Lions. Also, Galladay is just being consistent from week one, and so he might be another option. But I think they're sort of going to split each other out depending on who Howard is covering during the time, and Howard is just going to shut down whoever he's covering. So don't look for either one of those receivers to have great days, but they should have solid days. And then,
all right, I sure hope not. I hope not great days. I'm going up against Kenny Galladay in a league this week.
Oh yeah, so yeah, I don't think that that Galladay is going to have a great day. I think it's going to be pretty pedestrian. But for maybe like four catches for 50 yards and you know, not maybe a touchdown, maybe not. I don't know. And then the tandem of Blount Johnson. I really like them because the Dolphins' run defense is pretty poor. So depending on who gets the carries, I still don't know why LeGarrette Blount's part of this offense, but they really like to use him, especially down in the goal line situation. And yeah, Kerryon Johnson should be the number one back, but he's not. And so that kills that kind of value, but they should have pretty good games.
Yeah, I know. Bafflingly, he's not the top back, even though he definitely should be. So next one, the game that I tried to talk about, Minnesota and the Jets. Minnesota travels to New York, and this game is also a 47-point over-under. Minnesota is a 3.5-point favorite. They are 3-2-1, and the Jets are 3-3. So what are you looking for in this one other than our mutual boy Sam Darnold blowing it up?
Yeah, so he, you know, and he did had his best game of his short rookie season that he's had. He really just exploited the defense of the Colts, especially in the middle of the field. He just seemed like whenever the Colts had it 3rd and 6, he just found an open receiver right in the middle of the field and hit him every single time. So I gotta give a kudos to Sam Darnold's accuracy during that game, and the game plan that the Jets use really put a hardship on the Colts, and they exploited it well. But of course, the Colts aren't the Vikings, and the Vikings are a much better defense, and I think that's going to set a whole different set of problems for Sam Darnold. The one thing that I would look at and monitor is Isaiah Crowell. He got banged up last week against the Colts, and he didn't practice today, which is sort of a marker for those who follow the injuries. Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday are the days that you want to check for injuries, because those are the most involved days that they practice. So if he's not practicing Saturday either, then and you own Bilal Powell, this might be a good opportunity to put Bilal Powell in there with no Isaiah Crowell. But if Crowell is practicing by Saturday, then Powell doesn't offer much of anything. He's not even really involved in the passing game, which kind of makes me wonder what's going on there. But yeah, so just watch Crawl and monitor that situation. And as far as Minnesota, you know, Cousins, Thielen, Diggs, Rudolph, they're going to do what they normally do. I'm looking at Dalvin Cook. He's also a player that you want to keep tabs on, but he should be ready to go come Sunday.
All right. I hope he's not, because remember last week I said, oh, I forgot I had Latavius Murray. He did pretty well last did over 100 yards and a rushing touchdown. So, you know, Dalvin, you know, maybe you wait, rest it up a little bit.
Yeah, get more healthy. Get more healthy.
Yeah, get more healthy, because I got a tough opponent this week in that league. So next one up is the Carolina Panthers travel to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. This one is a 45.5 point over under. Philly is a 5-point favorite. So this one is it's not a shootout, but it's not going to be low scoring. It's two pretty good defenses against two pretty good offenses. The thing that I'm really looking for in this game is the Philly backfield. Carolina is what it is. You know, Funchess sucks, but he gets a ton of targets. You got some secondary receivers there that aren't going to be reliable enough. Cam is Cam. Christian McCaffrey is Christian McCaffrey. So we're going to take Carolina, just set him aside. The thing that I'm really looking for here is some freaking clarity to Philly's backfield. Because last week you had Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood. Wendell Smallwood had more snaps. He had more touches. He had more carries. Corey Clement had more yards. He had the touchdown. And neither one of them really blew it out of the water. So I'm trying to see, because it was sort of last week, it was a scatter, because it was the short week. Jay Ajayi got put on IR pretty late in the game. So it was sort of them just sort of scrambling to put people where they needed to go. Now they've had all this time to game plan. So I want to see, is Smallwood the guy to own there because he had more touches and snaps, or was that a factor that Corey Clement was just not ready to be the feature back and now he'll take over? So that's sort of what I'm looking for in this one, because we need some clarity in that backfield, because backfields are starting to get muddy. M-U-D-D-Y. So is there anything that I missed in that game that you wanted to talk about?
No, other than, do you think Devin Funchess is ever going to be good?
No, he doesn't do anything at an above average level. He doesn't have any separation. He's a slow route runner. His routes are not even that great. He has the uncanny ability to be large, and that's what he has. That's his main skill, is being large, and Cam Newton throwing him balls and him being able to jump up and get them. But I don't think he's a good wide receiver. He'll never be mistaken for a technician or a finesse guy.
Yeah, it's pretty awful how bad he is. And you know what was interesting is they had Kelvin Benjamin and then they drafted Devin Funchess. It's sort of like, you know, similar players, all very identical. And it's very much like Minnesota Vikings drafting Laquan Treadwell and Cordell Patterson. It's just, how do you guys not learn from the same players being the same bad as you just drafted? And it doesn't make any sense to me, but whatever.
Yeah, they're basically the same player. They're tight ends in wide receiver bodies. When they drafted Funchess, it was head scratching. It was back before it was a thing, but it's sort of that Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man meme sort of deal. They're essentially the exact same player. I did forget one guy in Carolina. That's Greg Olsen. Get what you can for him. That's all I have to say. His injury always needs a second surgery. He wasn't great last week. He was serviceable. He hasn't been good in 2 years, basically. So that's my bit of advice on Greg Olsen this week. Yeah. I get another game in a row. I'm not even going to give you a chance to contradict me on Greg Olsen. I'm just moving on. That's how strong.
I would agree with you, actually, on Greg Olsen.
Okay, good.
Especially a name out there, you know, he has name value. So if you can get something good for him, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, see what you can get. And we'll see what we can get as Cleveland travels to Tampa Bay. That is what they call a transition, folks. Cleveland travels to Tampa Bay. This one is the fourth highest scoring game on the week. It's a 50-point over-under. Browns are 3-point underdogs to the Buccaneers, which is kind of weird. It's sort of that just like home split. Browns are 2-3-1. Tampa Bay is 2-3. What I'm looking for in this one, it's one big thing from each team. Can Baker Mayfield throw an accurate football? Because you keep seeing all these numbers from Antonio Callaway, from Jarvis Landry. Well, Callaway keeps dropping balls, but their completion percentage to those two guys has been just absolutely bleak over the last few games with Baker Mayfield around. And you don't expect that from Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry has made a career out of catching the uncatchable, of having just incredible hands. And for him to drop as many balls as he is, Baker Mayfield needs to get them to him. And he should. The Bucs are probably the worst pass defense. Now, they fired Mike Smith this week, which can either be good or bad for what you feel about Baker Mayfield, just whatever you want to feel about it. It'll reinforce your position no matter what you're thinking. So I'm hoping Baker Mayfield can get his accuracy cleaned up, because he was pretty accurate in college. So it's weird that he's just thrown these terrible balls, and he's thrown the fourth most passes per game this year. So if he can get his head on right, that's a huge step forward that's going to be taken for the Browns offense. Another thing for the Browns that I forgot to put in the notes, but I did remember, Duke Johnson has now outsnapped Carlos Hyde over the last couple games. I think it's like 75-60. And Nick Chubb today, the coaching staff, I don't remember if it was the OC or the head coach of the Browns, said that they're going to get Nick Chubb more involved. So it might be time to sell your hides. Or as I said, sell high, H-Y. That's called a pun, everybody. So that's how I feel about the Browns. For the Bucks, it's much more straightforward. Peyton Barber's not good. Peyton Barber played good last week. Can Peyton Barber continue to hold off Ronald Jones? Because Ronald Jones isn't good either. So that's basically what it is for that one.
Yeah, I think that if Baker Mayfield cannot get it going against the Tampa Bay defense, then, you know, obviously they're not going to bench him, but he's got a long road ahead of him.
I don't think he's going to bench him. I think they're going to let him take his lumps. And quarterbacks they're not always good in their first year. That's the thing. I think they'll let him do his thing, learn on the job, as it were, get some on the job training, and we'll just hope for the best for Baker Mayfield, because he's an exciting player, and you know, it wouldn't be good for the NFL if he was bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it would not be good.
Next one. This game should actually be pretty fun because it's a really good offense against a really good defense. This one's tied, for whatever reason, this one's tied with Tampa Bay Cleveland with the fourth highest over under of the week, 50 points. It's the Saints traveling to Baltimore. The Saints are 4-1. Baltimore's 4-2. Two really good teams whose strengths match up against each other. So this should be a fun one to watch. Unfortunately, I'll be watching the 49ers get murdered by the Rams. That's what I'll be doing instead, because I will be at Levi Stadium. But what are you looking for in New Orleans and Baltimore?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is, of course, the Saints defense has been really bad. But against the run, they're actually number one defense against the run. So not a whole lot of teams have been able to run against them, which should open the door for Joe Flacco, because everybody's been able to pass against them. And I really think that Flacco is going to have a very good game with this. And with that means that players like Michael Crabtree and John Brown and those guys will be also good. So if you're looking at for a third or fourth receiver option or a flex guy, either Crabtree or Brown could definitely fill those roles, and I think they'll give you a solid performance. As for the Saints, my main concern is Kamara and Ingram. And I really don't know what they're going to do if Kamara is going to go back to the 12 carry back that he was last year, and Ingram, you know, doing the rest, and just serving out points away from Kamara. Last week, they really fed Ingram quite a bit. He even had the touchdown. So if you're a Kamara owner, I would be a little concerned that Ingram is going to start dominating those carries and going to be taking away those points from Kamara. So all those 26-point games and those high games that scoring games that he had might be out the window. But he's still a startable running back. And in this offense, Kamara, Ingram, Michael Thomas, and of course Drew Brees are all the guys that you're going to start. And we'll see what that number two role is, especially against a very tough running defense in the Baltimore Ravens. I don't think Breeze will have too much difficulty in the pocket against them, which signifies the high scoring game that both teams are going to have. So it's going to definitely be an air show. So expect a lot of points coming from the receivers and the quarterbacks.
Just to speak to your Kamara point, I am an Alvin Kamara owner in a keeper league, and I am not scared. Here's why. Kamara, he was hyper-efficient last year, yes, but they coexisted last year. Another thing that doesn't concern me, just trying to talk my fellow Kamara owners off the ledge, because I can definitely see why they'd be concerned. Narrative of the game. So Ingram comes back right before the bye. So basically, if you're going to play him, you're going to play him a lot because you got to get him those game reps before the bye. You know, he can get acclimated to getting back into the thing, into the course of the game. And then Drew Brees was chasing the record, and they wanted to get them that record at home. So he was bombing it out downfield to like Tre'Quan Smith and stuff instead of his normal dump it off to Kamara, you know, get 5, 6, 7 yards here and there. He was, you know, he was vintage Drew Brees going for the long shot. More often than not. So that's why I'm not too worried about it. I think he was like a top three running back. I think, you know, he'll drop down, you know, to horrible running back 8 or something, you know, just completely unimaginable. I think it was a 1 week thing with Kamara. It was concerning, but I think that everything will be okay going forward. Everything is going to be okay.
Yeah, I don't see him doing any worse than he did last year with that offense, just because, as you mentioned, this isn't the first time that these two have been playing with each other. So but I do expect those big blowout games to sort of cease. He's going to come a little bit back to earth, just because Ingram is going to be a lot more active and take the situations away from what he used to be all by himself, is now a running back by committee.
I mean, I can definitely see that, but they coexisted last year, so I'm not worried. So next game up on the docket, the 3-3 Dallas Cowboys and the 3-2 Washington team. This is a home game for Washington, and this one is the second lowest over under the week at 42 points, with Washington as 2-point favorites. So Vegas sees this as a 22-20 game, which is not a game that I am going to be at all excited to watch. But given that it's two NFC East teams, I'm just going to take a shot in the dark here and say this is America's game of the week on Fox, because that's how the NFC East rolls. My question on this one is there anybody outside of the running backs that's worth having on your roster on either of these teams? You got Zeke. You got Adrian Peterson. You have Chris Thompson in PPR leagues. But other than that, Jordan Reed disappeared last week. Vernon Davis is inconsistent. Alex Smith was bad. Dak Prescott has been bad this year. No Dallas wide receiver has been playing. The Cowboys have Jeff Swaim. So outside of the running backs, is there anybody on either of these teams that should be playing for your fantasy squad? That's my big question. And I said that, I had a big question for Dallas, and that's what it is can you do anything for fantasy this year other than Zeke?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think, you know, especially with the Cowboys, there's really not much there at all. you know, Prescott had a great game last week, but there's just no weapons to continue that. So yeah, it's just the Ezekiel Elliott show.
Yes, sir. So yeah, there's not a whole lot to talk about there. They're just two bad teams. So this next game features one good team and one bad team. The league's last undefeated team, the LA Rams, 6-0, traveling to the San Francisco 49ers, who are 6-0 in my heart, but they're in reality 1-5. This is a 52-point over-under, and the Rams are supposed to smash the Niners by 9.5 points. So the thing that I'm watching for this game is Greg Zuerlein. Legatron is... No, I'm just kidding. Greg Zuerlein is back, though. Check your waiver wires. He might be out there. Like I said, I dropped Derrick Henry to stash him, but I don't regret it. So there's three questions for this game. What does the Rams offense look like without Cooper Kupp? I said earlier, I think maybe Gerald Everett gets involved. That's the only question for the Rams. The Rams are monstrous, and they are what they are other than that. The two questions I have are for the 49ers. One, are they ever going to give the ball back to Alfred Morris, or should you just cut him outright? And the corollary to that is Raheem Mostert any good? I don't think he is. I think that we're going to see more Alfred Morris this week than we did last week. I mean, we saw him for one snap, so it's not going to be hard for him to outdo that. And then the really big question, Marquise Goodwin from CJ Beathard, they had two huge connections on Monday Night Football, which I'm sure everybody saw. Can they keep that ball rolling? Because down the stretch last year with Jimmy G, Goodwin was a set it and forget it starter for your team. He was like wide receiver, like 16 or something. So he didn't quite have that with Beathard last year, but Beathard is looking a lot better this year than he did last year. He still sits in the pocket way too freaking long because great is the enemy of good. And I hope you saw that on Monday Night Football when he was just getting smashed, trying to stay too deep in the pocket. Everything had to be a shot. But he does look better than last year. So can they keep that connection up? And then with CJ Beathard, he's not very great, but I heard a great stat on CBS Sports. Of all the quarterbacks that have started at least three games this year, CJ Beathard is the only one that has 20 or more fantasy points in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues in all of his games. So he's not great, but he's getting you numbers. So consistent numbers. So that's sort of what I'm looking for in that one. I'll be there. So, you know, I'll be looking for, you know, short bathroom lines, you know, quick concession stands. I'll be looking for that too. But for the game itself, that's what I'm looking for.
And yeah, I kind of like Beathard. I think, you know, as I said last week, he's very underrated and he kind of just does the job. So yeah, I'm kind of excited for him, and hopefully he does well this week as well.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of any college football team, but if I was, I would have to be a Hawkeye fan because of my wife's family's a bunch of Hawkeyes. So I have to root for CJ Beathard in this case because he's a, you know, Hawkeyes quarterback and now a Niners quarterback. Switching now to the game that is Sunday Night Football, now that the Niners stink out loud and are not on Sunday Night Football. 4-2, Cincinnati Bengals travel to Kansas City to take on Patrick Mahomes and the 5-1 Chiefs. This is going to be your highest scoring game of the week. 58.5 point over under with KC, a 6 point favorite in this one. So they definitely went for the the higher shootout game, even though the difference in terms of projected outcome is 3 points, according to Vegas, you know, 3 point difference in terms of how close the game will be. But what are you looking for in Kansas City and Cincinnati? Cincinnati.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't really think it will be that close. I think Chiefs are going to blow them out, but.
I agree.
Okay. So I really think that what I want to see here is how well the Chiefs are going to respond after losing such a hard game to the New England Patriots. This is going to be a really good test. If they can come out and do what they've been doing prior to last week's game, then everything is going to be good, status quo. They're going to be a dominant team throughout. If they struggle, then it might be time to worry about how good the Chiefs really are. So I want to see how that works out. As far as fantasy purposes, you're going to start the main guys, of course. You're going to Mahomes and Kelce and Hill and Hunt and those kind of guys. So you get those guys in the lineup if you can. And then for the Bengals, you're definitely starting Boyd and Green. Dalton is sort of those one of those streamer kind of quarterbacks. I think he'll do really well against this Chiefs defense, but it's going to be hard to bench him over someone like Drew Brees. So you have to look at the matchups. If the guy that you normally start has a tougher matchup or a really tough matchup, then this is kind of a move where Dalton should have a very good game and score a lot of points. So you might want to make the decision to, say, bench your normal starter for someone like Andy Dalton. And basically, I think I really, really want to see Boyd continue to do what he's doing. Actually, he's outperforming AJ Green. He has more receptions. I don't think he has many touchdowns, but Green had, what, 3 in one game and has only 2 since. So
yeah, he had 3 in one half, I think.
Yeah, it was a crazy game. And so he's sort of fallen off with the touchdowns. So that number looks a lot bigger than what it really is. Boyd has really been the one that's been more consistent with that offense. And then, of course, you got the Zoom Azuma guy, and he should also be played if the situation is right for your squad.
Cool. Sounds like a pretty good matchup on Sunday Night Football. It should be fun. Monday Night Football gives us another fun matchup. Fun in quotation marks, because it's the New York Giants go to Atlanta. I don't have the faith in Eli Manning that you do, but the Giants, sorry, are 1-5, and the Falcons are mysteriously 2-4. This one is a 54.5 point over under, with the Giants as 6-point underdogs. So they expect sort of a similar blowout to as they do in Tennessee and the Chargers, which is very bizarre. For this one, I'm looking for two things. Is Eli going to bring this whole team down? Is he that bad? I think that the Philly game was probably the worst case scenario for this offense, but does he bounce back? That's basically the question. Is can Eli bounce back, or is Sterling Shepard unrosterable? Does Odell Beckham drop to a second tier wide receiver one instead of a top tier wide receiver one, you know, down to maybe the, we'll say, AJ Green territory? And Saquon, it doesn't matter what happens there, but will Evan Ingram be any use when he comes back, or is Eli just going to take everything and just drag it down to the muck, just drag it down to hell? And then for the Falcons side, is Julio Jones ever going to score a touchdown? That's all I want to know.
You know, I figured out Julio Jones, so you're going to have to bear with me a little bit because it's a little involved. But here's the situation with Julio Jones. He is the Don Juan with an ED problem. Okay. And the reason why I say that is because Julio Jones, from 20 to 20 on the football field, all over the football field, he's Mr. Sexy, does it all, knows how to get open, knows how to do everything, right? Mr. Sexy. When it comes time to score, there's always a problem.
Oh, no. I told you earlier, this is a family podcast, my guy. Come on. I do like the analogy. He can't finish the job, as it were. But how much of that do you think it has to do with Steve Sarkisian's play calling?
I really don't think it has much to do with it at all. It's he hasn't scored since day one of the NFL. So I you know, it's not just Sarkisian. It's the fact that just Ryan and him can't, you know, find a way to be on the same page.
All right, fair enough. And one last thing too, with the Falcons, Devonta Freeman got put on IR. If you didn't know that, pay more attention. Ito Smith is owned in about half of leagues, pretty much universally. Go get him. He should be universally owned. If he's not already owned in your league, definitely, definitely fix that. Find some room for him on your roster. I think he'll be a quality fantasy contributor down the stretch. I don't think he's a league winner unless Tevin Coleman gets hurt, but I think he's definitely worth a roster add in every single league. So that should do it for episode 18 of the Football Absurdity Podcast. Another one in the books. If every episode was a year, guess what? They could vote. But every episode's not a year. So Mike, thanks for joining me today as always. Do you have anything you want to say to the folks before we take off? I've been monopolizing the time.
No, you've been fine. Hope everybody has a great week, and win the games that they're involved in.
Yes. Unless you're playing against me or Mike.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.